The link between leadership, health, and wellness is both profound and multidimensional. Effective leadership requires a strong foundation in physical, mental, and emotional well-being, as leaders often set the tone for their teams and organization. My journey to becoming a holistic coach began with my work as a personal trainer, which I often refer to as my first love in the world of coaching. It's only natural then for me to delve into a conversation I had on this topic, on this powerful connection between physical health and leadership performance. Leaders with good physical health achieve through regular exercise, balanced nutrition, and adequate sleep are better equipped to handle the high demands of leadership roles. Physical well-being impacts energy levels for long working hours, resilience to stress and challenges, cognitive sharpness, including decision-making and problem-solving abilities. Welcome to this episode of the Leadership Podcast. My name is Liliane, but you can call me Lily. And today I am honored to share a conversation I had last week with Ingrida Gerdwein. Ingrida is a nutritional therapist and a functional medicine practitioner based in Dublin. In this conversation, we explored a topic close to the hearts of many: health and fitness for women over 40. Together, we break down the key elements of health and fitness and share practical strategies to help you take control of your well-being. Ingrida has been an integral part of my fitness journey and a true inspiration to me. As a multi-award-winning bodybuilder in Ireland, her expertise and achievements are nothing short of remarkable. So, this is a relaxed and candid conversation, and we truly hope you enjoy it as much as we did.
And today we have my friend Lily, who is a holistic coach. Lily, can you explain what that is and what you do?
So hi everyone. Hi everybody. Thank you so much for having me today, Ingrida. It's a pleasure. So my name is Liliane. I'm a holistic coach. So what I mean by that is that first, the mindset is I believe we are beings with so many dimensions. So if you want to work with people, you just can't treat humans as silos, right? You need to look at the bigger picture. So that's why I am a holistic coach. And what it means is that I had to study different aspects of coaching. So I started with becoming a personal trainer, and that's pretty much maybe a bit after that time that I met Ingrida in the gym. And then I became a life coach, leadership coach, and then I became an Ayurveda coach. And Ayurveda, it's pretty much an Indian ancient, I would call that a health system that is very holistic. It's about the body, the mind, and the spirit. So this is what I believe. This is what I believe in. So that's why it's about being able to help people. If you want to help somebody with challenges they have with their, let's say, their eating habits, maybe the problem is not food. The problem is what's eating them, right? So you need to have some skills as a coach, more like as a life coach, or you need to understand what's going on in their lives. So the food, the relationship to food is more like a symptom of another problem. So that's why for me, if I really want to help people, I need to have Like, I need to broaden my knowledge because we are so diverse as people.
And Lily, you also have a podcast?
Yeah, I do have different podcasts. So I have a podcast about leadership. That's a leadership podcast. That's in English. Now you can hear my accent. I'm a French speaker. That's my native language. So I have another podcast which is called Ça va aller, which means like all will be good. And that podcast is in French and it's more about holistic well-being and success and happiness. And I'm launching next week a YouTube channel that will be called Ça va aller. So it's all about health, wellness, happiness, success. But how can one be successful if one is not healthy?
Oh yeah, that's deep.
How can you be successful if you're not healthy? And what does it mean to be healthy? Is it your body?
Because different people probably understand different. If someone is in a lot of pain, take away my pain. I want to be healthy. Where someone maybe I just wanted to have strong and fit body and clear mind and I don't know.
Yeah. But once again, one can look very lean according to the official beauty standard, but one might not be healthy. So we have to think about what we mean by being healthy.
Absolutely. Lily, you're talking here to me. Like when I was doing the bodybuilding, like I was like, you remember you came to watch my shows, like absolutely lean, but inside was, oh my gosh, the most important to me was my mindset that affected. Because you constantly compare yourself to other people. And this comparison totally destroys who you are. Like it just goes like it's you're not connected to your heart. You compare it to other people, and it just oh that didn't start.
But I think different times, different seasons of our lives, we experiment, we try things. I mean, I'm convinced that I was there. You've learned so much from those competition because you've achieved a lot. So I'm sure you learned stuff about and that made you stronger as a person.
The discipline, I think, was the strongest one that you learned. We both learned, right? Because you started with me as well, and the discipline would be the strongest one. And that's kind of everywhere, like the discipline. If you wanna to achieve something more, it has to be like a habit and a discipline. So that helped. And yeah, but Lily, tell me, were you fit and healthy always like you are today?
First, I mean, how do you define being fit, you know?
Energy and have
So,
the mind.
let's just go back in time. So first, like for me, the fitness journey started almost 20 years ago in 2025. It's going to be 20 years. So at the time, what was my situation? I kind of finished university. I had gained a bit of weight. So I was like the typical student who enjoyed life. So I was drinking, partying, studying hard and partying very hard. So when I started working here in Ireland, I felt like I had at least 5, 7 kilos I wanted to lose. And I don't think I really know. I really knew at the time what it was to be, what a good nutrition looked like. I did not really know because in my parents' house, we were eating very healthy, but I didn't know. I was just eating what was
Do
good
I?
for me. And then you go to university, you travel, you drink, you eat cheap fast food. You don't it doesn't matter because you're young and your metabolism is super fast. So you look good, you feel good, all is good. But then as you get older, some bad habits, take more space. And so just to be more concise, I didn't have the shape that I wanted 20 years ago. I don't think I was feeling great because I remember I was working in tech And I don't know, after lunchtime, I used to feel like I had a drop of energy
So do
around lunchtime, because my diet was still had a lot of unhealthy carbs, a bit of processed food. So I think sugar levels were up and down. You and I, we understand that. So there was a bit of that going on, and I did not really understand what was a good diet. And I was kind of trying to count my calories,
Yeah.
which I don't believe in.
These calories, I didn't have a clue about the calories or macros or anything like that. Like,
Yeah.
if you would have said to me, like, I don't know, 10 years ago, what calories are you eating or what macros are you eating? Like, what? Like, I
Yeah.
don't know what they are.
But my opinion, okay, I'm just speaking from like a healthy perspective, and
Yeah.
I'm just, this is what it means to me. So not everybody needs to have the same approach or philosophy. I
Yeah.
don't believe in counting calories. That makes me crazy. Because then I'm thinking about what I want that I can't have, and so it feels like a restriction. So anyways, at the time, I didn't know exactly what a healthy diet looked like. And then I was like, oh my God, I need to lose weight. I need to lose weight. So then I joined a gym. So we are based in Dublin, in Ireland. So I joined the National Aquatic Center in Blanchardstown, because I used to work for IBM. So I started there. And then when I moved to Clontarf, that area of Dublin, I joined the Westmood. And I've been a member like for almost 20 years. Love the
Wow.
Westmood. So,
Yeah.
anyways. And for me at the time, it was just like, okay, I better train hard, hard. So I was training, doing
Yeah.
all the bloody classes.
Yeah.
We spent many, many hours in the gym. I loved it, to be honest. But now we know that there are better ways to
Yeah.
do things. But as we said, it comes with experience. And that's why I became a personal trainer, because I was like, I wanted to learn more. I wanted to know more.
And did you learn more by studying personal training? Personal training.
Totally. Because I was so intense that I would do 3, 4 classes in a row, because I'm full of energy. So I was one day I was like, I'm probably gonna hurt myself. Maybe I should learn and take a course to know how you move, and just not to in to avoid injuries. So that has helped me. I had a few injuries over the years, but not as bad as I could have had if I hadn't done that PT
Yeah.
diploma.
So you implemented basically what you learned in personal training. You
Yeah.
implemented, you realize, oh, I actually need rest days and I can't train like 3 hours a day or whatever you were training.
Yeah, it's just to understand. So obviously, I'm a Les Mills certified instructor. And I'm certified in body pump, actually. Some of the people might know about body pump. So
Yeah.
let's say like 20 years ago, whatever, 15 years ago, I was doing body pump,
Yeah.
and I would just do the squats, I would do the move, but
Yeah.
sometimes certain movement, like you have to do a clean and press,
Yeah.
you could be bouncing the weights and hurting your
Yeah.
elbows. So by having good technique, good alignment, you
Yeah.
actually don't need to lift super heavy. It's more like time under tension. So learning about the technique for me was like a game changer. And I'm a bit of a perfectionist when I'm passionate about something.
Yeah,
So
you go into the detail. I remember you were telling me, saying mind and muscle connection. I was like, I would go and like, what does she mean? Mind muscle connection.
it's like, think about the muscle that you're trying to work. And you will activate that muscle
Now
more.
I know, but at that time when we met in the gym, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
How did we meet? I actually forgot the moment we met, but I think you approached me. Because I didn't
For
have.
sure. I'm sure. You
Well,
would never have approached me at the time.
you approached me, and I think you showed me how to train the glutes. Because the guy, basically a friend of mine, showed me how to train the upper body, so that I would train upper body, and my upper body and lower body would be completely from different, like completely wouldn't match. You know, because this one, the upper body was so trained and lower body, no. And I think with you start showing me how to do this mind muscle thing. and train more lower body, because your favorite thing, and I think still is, lower body, right?
Let's put it this way. As a woman, I think it's nice to have nice glutes.
Yeah, I
So
think
I'm just obsessed with glutes, so yeah.
So you definitely, Lily was the one who actually showed me a lot of mind muscle connection, and then I started doing it, and gradually my lower body started matching my upper body, but before was like, oh my gosh, yeah. And in your opinion now, so say for females who are in 40 and maybe 50, how important it is resistance training, or maybe it is cardio, or maybe it's both.
Okay, so let's go back to the basics. As you know, when we think about fitness in general, it's about, for me, there are th three core elements, right? So the first one would be obviously cardio. We need to make sure that we pump the heart. So cardio. So you can do cardio if you run, if you walk, if you jog, if you do a cycling class, you know.
That would be cardio. If you doesn't matter,
Res
it doesn't have to be intense, like, because sometimes people hear cardio and they think, oh shit, I have to run and I'm not good.
No. You don't have to run. You can go for a walk. Like I was in the gym today. I trained. I did my resistance training, and then I finished with like steady cardio, like 30 minutes on the treadmill, working. I just put the incline a bit and just walk fast, kind of fast for 30 minutes. You might listen to an audiobook or some nice music, or some people have conversations in the gym on the phone, which I think is pretty rude, but. Whatever, do what works for you. But that would be a good cardio exercise. So cardio is important, but not only, because we see a lot of people, especially ladies in their 40s, 40 plus, who they want to lose weight and they're thinking, okay, I need to do some cardio. So they just kill themselves on the treadmill or on the elliptical to lose. But you have to think of your hormones and different things. So muscles, we need to build muscles because as soon as you reach 30, you start losing muscle mass. So we need to build muscles. So resistance training is important. And why is it so beneficial? Because when you build muscles, guess what? You're going to store more glycogen. So if you have sugar, you're going to store it in your muscles. So if you suffer from diabetes or whatever, it's going to be good for you. So build muscles so that you have a better posture. When we get older, you know, we'll be in better shape. It's good for your immune system if you have muscles as well. And when you have muscles, you burn more calories. So that will increase your metabolism and mobility and stretching work because we need to stay flexible as we age. So if you have no mobility, you're going to be very stiff. So your movement is going to be restricted. So we need to make sure that we have the full range of movement. So when you move your arm, you can naturally do the things you need to do for yourself. As we get older, we don't want to live longer. We want to live better or maintain and still be self-sufficient. So mobility would be, so for me, these are the three pillar of being fit. Cardio, resistance training, mobility, and like stretching.
Annelie, if someone is starting and they never done any kind of cardio resistance training or, stretching, what would be the advice? What would you say to these people? How to start, like,
To start cardio or in general to
just
on their fitness journey.
not to overwhelm me, because when you're new and you all have to do stretching and what mobility and cardio and weightlifting. So how can they start if they knew? Because now new year, coming 2025, maybe some of people want to start fitness, and how do they start?
Yeah. So actually I coach different women with different situations. So one lady that I just coached actually just for a month, she needed help because she was trying to get back into the gym. And so she reached out to me and we so basically what I recommend is okay, first, how do you feel about going to the gym? Some people are like, no, I'm not a gym person. That's cool. Go for a walk. And there are so many benefits to walking. Walking is good for your cardiovascular system, obviously, because that's cardio. But you will start using your muscles. So you will strengthen your muscles, your legs slowly. So that's a good way to start. So start with, if you like walking, start to walk. Or maybe you're more like a yoga person. So guess what? I would say start with the mobility stretching because that's what you love. You need to start with what you love because if you love something, if you like it, you're more likely to do it. So we start with what you like. So out of the three, resistance training, cardio, or mobility stretching, which one is your best friend? We'll start with that one.
That's
And
a good.
then slowly, so I'm working with another lady she's quite overweight, and but she always loved her cardio, and she happened to have a treadmill at home, so I said to her, "Look, go on the treadmill, but I don't want you to run. Don't run because you're gonna hurt your joints. Just start by walking. So every day, 30 minutes. So she's done that for like 2 months. Obviously, we worked on the diet and now we are adding the resistance training. Now, as you know, if I tell her, okay, resistance training, mobility at once, these are too many things to learn. So we just, when we are very confident with one, we add the other layer and then we finish with the last layer. So that would be my approach.
So the message is basically find what you love. If your thing is running and you love that, start doing this. Not to do things that you hate and you don't like it, because it's hard to clean when you do things that you don't love, right? And then so in like for us females, okay, New Year is coming, and then probably a lot of people want to lose weight. And what about nutrition and diet?
Totally. So I was going to go there actually. So as I said to you, I personally, and that's only me, and I know people that love to count their calories. So if you like counting, do it. I'm not saying don't do it. I just say for me, I'm just going to speak from my experience. For me, it does not work. It makes me crazy. So I don't count calories, but for me, it's all about, let's say that you have a car. Let's say that you love cars, right? Your best car, you're not going to put a crap fuel. You're going to put quality fuel. You're going to take the premium fuel. Or a joke I have with somebody I know well is like, we always say, my body, my temple. You know that person, by the way. We say, my body, my temple. So the idea is, put good fuel in your body because the fuel is going to be your energy. Your input is going to have a major impact on your output. Output in terms of how you're going to feel, and then the energy that you're going to have that's going to carry you throughout your day, whether you're in the gym, outdoor walking, or at work. So, nutrition, it's all about having enough protein. We don't want to become a bodybuilder or whatever, but we need to have protein because protein are important if you want to build muscles, even for your joints. So you need protein. For your cells, you need protein. So I don't know what number, but if we had to give a number, I would say at least 0.8 gram per kilo. So based on your weight, you should try to be around that number, ideally. You need good fats. Women, we need good fats for the hormones. Make sure you have good fats. So fat is not the enemy. We just don't want unhealthy fat. So no processed food. Get the processed food as much as you can out of your. I mean, it's okay to have your crisps over the weekend. Try
It
to
happens.
reduce as much as you can. Good fats, proteins. Hydrate yourself, water. What else? Omega-3s. And definitely get rid of the processed food. Now I'm going to add another one. And I know for those living in Ireland, that might be a bit like, is she serious? So alcohol is definitely something that will slow your metabolism. People need to understand when you drink alcohol, your body treats alcohol like the enemy it needs to get rid of because we can't keep that thing in the system. So when you have alcohol, there is an emergency and the body's like, okay, we drop everything we're doing. We need to get rid of that thing. So if you had, and usually when we drink, we tend to have rich foods. So all that, those, all that sugar, everything is going to be stored because the body's busy getting rid of the alcohol. So you're slowing down your metabolism, you're trying to lose weight, and you're like, oh, I'm counting the calories, and I only had that many, one glass, that's that many calories, and I don't understand. I don't reduce the alcohol. If you can, stop the alcohol.
Ideally to stop.
Ideally, but if you can't, that's okay. One glass, two glasses per week, but no more. Yeah, that's just me. That's what I believe in, and that's what I practice. No more alcohol for me.
Oh, so you know, no more alcohol for
No,
yourself.
I'm just no, almost 5 months without alcohol, and I'm not going back.
I actually developed something talking about alcohol. I developed since COVID something very funny. So I love to drink gin and tonic, would be my favorite. And then maybe red wine from time to time. My sister-in-law loves red wine, so we together like would have red wine from time to time, like in moderation, right? And since COVID, literally, whenever I have, it doesn't have to be much. It's like literally, I start, it's either depends on the alcohol type, it's either sneezing or crying. And I was like, I'm not gonna embarrass myself in the public. So I just stop. It's easy not to. Like, I still might have a little bit, but it's just so strange. Like, you know, it's just,
So sorry, what do you mean that alcohol has an impact on your mood?
No, I just I on like I start crying. It's not mood, but like the tear starts running.
Really? That's
It's
weird.
strange. It's so weird. Or I sneeze like really badly, like keep sneezing and sneezing. And people are like, you know, after COVID, they think, oh my gosh, did she have something? You know, keep sneezing. I'm like, okay, good. No more alcohol for me.
But there is one thing else to say about alcohol is that it impacts your brain. It has, people don't want to hear it, but alcohol is not good for you. It is not. So in moderation, definitely. And that has an impact as well on your mental health. So as sugar has an impact on our mental health, processed sugar, all that, just let's just get rid of it as much as we can. So that's the nutrition part, I would say. And then there's another element that people don't realize. We are connected to, and this is where I think I'm a holistic coach, we are connected to the universe, right? So circadian rhythm, what does it mean? It means that your body has an internal clock. And if you don't respect that internal clock, you're going to be tired. And guess what? You know this better than me. When you're tired because you didn't have a proper good night's sleep, the next day, some hormones get high and you can't control yourself. You're going to eat crap food and that's going to mess up your goals. So if you want to be in shape, so do your resistance training and blah, 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 and automatically watch your diet, clean the junk food, remove it, control the alcohol levels. It's going to be easier if you go to bed no later than 10, read a book, get rid of the screens in the bedroom, read a book, and close your eyes. 10 o'clock, you're going to get an amazing sleep. You're going to wake up at 6, refresh.
That is true, and so hard for people to do, isn't it? Like whenever you talk to people, there's a lot of, especially in perimenopause and menopause, like they can't sleep anymore, and the circadian when it's imbalanced, it's kind of hard for them to balance, or because there's always temptation, to go and maybe, I don't know, Netflix or whatever, to watch something.
Yeah, no, I appreciate, like, I'm 47. Let's be real. I'm 47, so I'm probably perimenopausal. But for me, that's why this year I kind of honestly, I say to my friends, my close friends, I've done a cleanup of my life. Seriously. So I just try to understand that if I, how are we going to be when we are 70? Is just about the decisions that we make right now for ourselves, health-wise, mental health, everything. So if we watch the input, what we put in our body, what we eat and what we drink, how much we move, then at 70, we're gonna have a pretty good life.
Exactly. And it's worth giving a try, isn't it? Even though we have to know, like with my background in terms of where my family is, with the health, there's a lot of bone issues, diabetes, obesity in my family. So yeah, but at least you can do your best, and then at the end, you will be like, okay, there's no regrets. I did it what I could. And I think that's the better way, when you
Now I've been so obviously I create a lot of, I'm working on content that I create, so I do a lot of research, reading, and I kind of was looking at sugar for the hormones for women. What I've read is that the sugar has an impact on the estrogen, that will have an impact on your hormones. And usually it's linked to symptoms that women can feel when they are going through the menopause. So getting rid of sugar will help with the
To kind of
symptoms.
go easy into mental
Yeah, I mean that's what I don't have any symptoms myself, to be honest, so I don't know. I'm not gonna lie. But I've removed all the bad sugar. Like, I have the odd cheesecake on the weekend. So I'm not telling you to be a saint and no dessert, nothing, no fun. No, it's okay. Have your cheesecake. I do. But that's it. Like, no, n not a lot of sugar, right? Sugar is not good. And sugar increases the aging, the glycation.
That's why the face, my face is falling.
No, what are you talking about? No, but sugar is the enemy for the body. Like, too much sugar has an impact on the possibility to have
But you
degenerative illnesses for your brain. Like, sugar is like, we need to be careful. Like, be mindful when you consume sugar. Like, choose the sugar that you really love and enjoy it, but don't do sugar all the time, every day.
And Lily, it's so hard, isn't it? For example, when like I am sugar addict, so I grew up on sugar, right? My 20s were sugar, and I totally relate what you are saying, like with your immune, with everything. I was very sick. I never was like obese or anything like that, but I wasn't happy in my body because sugar made me sluggish, made me tired. I actually could sleep open, like eye open in work. I learned how to do that after lunch. It would hit me bad. The energy was not there. And being sugar addict, I really understand what it's like to cut completely sugar. So I didn't do cut completely, but I have that principle 80-20 rule. It works for me. So 80 is more mostly like
Yeah,
good food
but
and
maybe we should explain for people who are listening the pretty much in a very simple way. Okay, when we consume sugar, it goes into the bloodstream. So then the pancreas has to release insulin. So what happens? Let's say we had a lot of sugar, and suddenly the insulin comes and it drops. So you were feeling high and suddenly you feel low. And this is where you have people that suffer from hypoglycemia. But do you say when you start with hypoglycemia, you very likely, if you stay like that too long, you could have diabetes, diabetes too, after a while. So, and the impact, it's not about the weight only, it's about your energy, it's about your brain power. You're gonna have fog. People that have glycemia, sorry, who are hypoglycemic tend to be to have like brain fogs.
Yeah, it's a big, isn't it? Especially in perimenopause, menopause, there's a lot going with the brain fog. It's just, why did I come here in the kitchen? Don't
Yeah,
remember.
I know. I have situations where I'm like, I can't remember that word. And I'm like, okay, what's the word in English? Okay, English is not my first language. What's the word in French? I'm like, I don't even know the word in French. Like, what am I trying to say here? Sometimes it takes me. So I do, I think I have a bit of, I don't know if it's menopause, I don't know.
Yeah,
But
it's a bit of everything, maybe, you know, just have,
yeah.
and maybe on the day as well when you lack your sleep or something else. It's just
So sugar, I think. Just to say, if let's say as women close to like I'm closer to 50 than to my 40s, right? So for women who are kind of my age, I think if you have to think about few things to keep in mind, I would say to you, work on your body. Okay, what's with the body? Okay, remove as much as you can Monday to Friday. Very simple. Monday to Friday, remove the processed food. Now, if you're still having processed food and it's hard for you to remove them, that's okay. Have a bit of it over the weekend, but Monday to Friday, start to be clean as much as you can. Processed food, sugar. Try to eat simple food like your fish. Loads of vegetables, all the colors of the rainbow, because you're going to get all your vitamins, your nutrients. So that is important. Hydrate yourself. Remove the alcohol during the week. Have your glass of wine over the weekend. That's okay. Enjoy it. Try to be kind of mindful. Be aware of what it is that, because sometimes we don't realize, oh my God, I'm actually drinking. Two glasses here, two glasses here. Oh my God, I drink a bottle every week. You know, it goes very fast. So start to maybe do a bit of a journal and see write down everything that you eat and drink. Now, when I was a PT in my gym, I kind of coach a few people, and there was a man who came to me, I never forget. And I asked him before we do the planned his workout, I was like, because I love to understand what's the diet like. So I was like, hey, tell me a bit about your diet. What do you have for breakfast, et cetera, et cetera. And then I was like, and how much water do you drink? And he looks at me, he's like, no, I don't like water. I don't drink water. I'm like, okay, what do you drink? I drink tea, but that's okay. No, it's like water. I'm like, no, you need to drink water. That man was not even drinking a glass of water every day, and he's in his 70s. So I said to him, we need to change that. And I'm so glad because I met him recently in the gym, and I say, hey, how many glasses? He's like, oh, I drink 2 liters every day. So make sure you drink your water and make sure you move your body. So remember, what is your favorite movement? It doesn't matter what it is. What is your favorite movement? Do that movement. Try to move if you can at least 5 days a week. And then start to add the other elements of fitness, whether it's resistance training, cardio, and mobility. And now we need to think about your mindset. I want to ask, what is your mindset like as a person? Do you feel like everything is never going the right way, and you feel like no matter what you try, it never works. What's up with your mindset? Is there something there that we can change? Because your mindset is going to have a massive impact on your results and your ability to sustain your results. So I'm going to be very transparent. You know me. I've been always very passionate about the gym, etc. But I had different things that happened in my life, different challenges. And This summer, actually, I decided, you know what? I'm going to speak to a therapist. I had a coach myself for like a year when I was working in tech because that was very intense. But I spoke to a therapist and for like 4 months, and that really helped me understand some of the reasons why I was stressed. I didn't know actually I was stressed, but I realized I was stressed. And now being able to manage my stress better is helping me to reach my goals. Because sometimes we eat when we're stressed, or sometimes we have just habits because we think a certain way. So be careful. The way you feel can dictate the way you think, and the way you think can dictate the way you feel. Now, if you feel a certain way, you might decide to grab that those biscuits or, so. And if you need, get some help. And everybody needs help, by the way. It's not a weakness. So I spoke to a therapist. I had a coach for a year, and that really helped. So,
So the therapist would be like for your mind. So if you feel like you would like maybe to do something, or maybe you always, whatever, for some reason sad and something puts you down, it's just nice to have someone to help you to understand your feelings and understand why you're weak.
Because sometimes we in life we know we sometimes we always have the same type of situations that happen to us in our lives, and we like to believe we are victims. It's not our fault. It's just the universe is against us, or people are against us, and usually it's not the case. There's a reason why the same things are happening all the time. So sometimes it's good to get help to find clarity, and then once you know. Once you're aware, oh my God, you can do so much.
So
And
my
that's where the magic begins. And you realize, oh my God, I was struggling with that. I can stop drinking. I used to smoke cigarettes. I don't need that. And then you start to see some of the conditioning. Sometimes when we are in certain situations, we tend to do certain things. So you can start working on yourself, body, mind, and spirit. And last but not least, meditation. Take the time to sit still, give yourself 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever you have every day. Maybe it's in the morning, maybe it's before you go to bed.
To find
And
out.
grab a book, actually. Just no screens in the bedroom. It's not easy. I struggle sometimes. But that's what I'm trying to do, at least.
I remember I started like meditation, but I started like, oh, I couldn't understand what is meditation. So I was just gonna give it a try. Like 5 minutes of, no, I started with the 2 minutes, and it's 2 minutes. Oh my gosh, it was so long. Then I increased to 5 minutes. Then I actually got some time since into actually half an hour or so. But some meditations would be very good because you're very, very relaxed. And some of them, I did the guided meditation. There's so many apps. Remember now, it was a while ago. But yeah, it's actually, once you learn the basic and it doesn't have to be long, you can do like a quick one, 2 minutes, 1 minute, whatever, to remember to breathe. So
And it doesn't have to be complicated. For me, like so on the YouTube channel, it's a French YouTube channel that I'm launching. Meditation, I do guided meditation, but it's very simple. A lot of the time, use your breath, and then you might repeat a sentence. You might, it's just to ease your mind. And if you go and you think about 20 things, that's okay. Just let it's easy. It doesn't have to be complicated. It's not very technical. So I use the Chopra app. I'm a Chopra certified Ayurveda instructor, so I like Chopra a lot. So I use the meditation app.
Okay, and are they those meditation long meditations, so there's a different length?
Oh, usually they are like 7 to 12 minutes. So
Okay, that's
it's really nice. They have a meditation for the evening, for the morning. It's really cool.
great. So that's good for people to know. It
Oh.
was a pleasure, Lily, to have you here.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Leadership Podcast. My name is Liliane, but you can call me Lily. We really hope our discussion inspired you to make health and fitness a priority, recognizing them as essential foundations for both personal and professional success. Remember, true leadership begins with leading yourself, nurturing your physical, mental, and emotional well-being is key to thriving in every area of your life. A big thank you to Ingrida for sparkling this meaningful conversation. If you found value in this episode, please don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, or share it with someone who might benefit from these insights. With several exciting projects underway and a focus on enhancing the quality of the content I create, new episodes of this podcast will now be released on the first Tuesday of every month. Until then, take care of yourself, stay strong, and continue to lead with purpose.